Well, yeah, there's, you know, more just for fun or whatever, but... Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Scary Dad Podcast, episode 24.
24, almost hitting our silver.
Wow. Today is Monday, March 27th, 2017. And, this is a slight departure from stuff we normally talk about, but I think we're going to have a good time. So, as some of you know, and Scott knows, whatever, but Scott's got a daughter. I got a couple daughters. I just got back from Disney World, you know, went on vacation, did the whole family run around, and had a grand old time. And at the same time as we are discussing this, by the time the episode drops, it will have been out for a week or two. But the live action Beauty and the Beast is coming out, I think this Friday. Not Friday that you're listening to it, Friday 2 weeks, two or three weeks in the past.
So it's been out for a couple of weeks
now. So it's been out for a couple of weeks now, and it may or may not be the best movie ever, but Disney's doing a whole lot of live action. I believe there's a live action Little Mermaid going on right now, live action Aladdin. So it's topical. And then, after we got back from Disney World, my kids are on a Disney kick. They're always on a Disney kick, but they're on a more so Disney kick. So I've been getting a steady stream of old school Disney movies, and specifically the Disney princesses. So today's episode, we're going to talk about some of the Disney princesses. And you go, man, dude, what's up with you, Scary Dad? You just did, like just a couple of days ago, I heard your episode on Jack the Ripper.
now
you're talking about Disney princesses. Like, what goes on? And I'll get to that in a second. We'll go ahead and go through the history segment. And since I'm taking the lead on this one, I'm going to let Scott do the histories. Real quick,
I'll run through these. All right. In 1915, Typhoid Mary, the first healthy carrier of disease in U.S., put into quarantine where she would remain the rest of her life. That was she was kind enough to bring typhoid over to the United States with her trip.
Kind enough to bring it, but not kind enough to actually get sick by it. So she just exposed a lot of people.
Right.
And then she herself never actually developed symptoms.
Right. Yeah, but she was had to be kept in quarantine, you know, the entire time. All right, 1998, the FDA was kind enough to approve Viagra for erectile dysfunction, which I don't there's no way that you can have watched TV within the last 10 years and not seen a commercial for some erectile dysfunction medication. It's definitely entrenched itself into pop culture.
It's apparently a whole lot worse of a problem than you would think, but I guess it
Okay, this day in famous births, we have in 1963 the arrival of a young Quentin Tarantino. Pretty much everybody knows who he is. I even have one of his action figures here. He's gone kind of overboard.
Just a little bit.
I've heard some I've heard some real diva-like stories about him. I've never met Quentin, so I can't speak for myself. But that's one guy I would love to meet just to dig into his mind a little bit.
I always have this thing I would call it like a love hate, you know, whenever it comes to celebrities. You know, on the one hand, you're going, okay, well, you're famous, and the reason you're famous and rich is because people like you and they like what you do, so you should be nice to them. On the flip side, if you live your entire life from every day, from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed, with people blowing smoke up your ass, eventually you're just going to develop a complex. So.
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do too. And, you know, I used to think totally 100% the same way. Now I'm at a point where I understand sometimes why they get jaded.
And well, that's what I mean.
The assholes. Well, one of the reasons is people don't know how to act when they meet them, and so sometimes they, you know, just preemptively prepare themselves for what they think is going to happen. They can be, you know, defensive, and that can be taken for them being, you know, assholes. I've seen it many times, and a lot of them do their best not to be assholes, but sometimes they can't help it. But you can't deny what Quentin Tarantino has done to pop culture. You know,
dude, I'm an asshole.
Yeah,
I mean, it's got. It's
we
got
all can beat a certain.
Like, well, no, it just it depends on how you hit me. Like, I'm a pretty nice guy for the most part, but man, I catch some hell from my wife for whenever I have to talk to people on the phone. Like, if I'm calling tech support. And I have to be put through like 20 different menus, and I finally get to somebody, well, and
yeah,
and they're like, "What's your problem?" And you say, "Well, this is my problem. This is my problem A, B, and C." They're like, "Oh, well, I can't help you with that. Let me transfer you to the next guy." And then that next guy is like, "So what's your problem?" You're like, "Dude, you're threatening me with having recorded this conversation, but you can't even take notes.
That's why
to I say that this guy's router doesn't work."
I'll normally preemptively tell them, look, I just want you to know I'm really pissed off right now, but it's not at you. So it's going to come out that I'm an asshole, but it's not pointed at you. It's misdirected anger.
So you know, you get somebody with super celebrity that all day long has to deal with just getting, you know, dealing with people.
Right.
I sympathize. Like, I really do.
Right.
So...
Okay, another birth we had in 1971, Mr. Nathan Fillion.
He's Firefly.
That's it. Okay, I was trying to remember. Okay, all right.
Yep.
Okay, deaths on this day. In 2010, we had Dick Giannardo. How do you pronounce it?
Giannardo,
okay.
He was the one of the main... If you look at a Justice League or a Superman, Batman comic book from like the 70s, 80s, if he didn't draw it or write it,
yes,
he
was I've seen his signature many, many times.
Yeah,
right here. He's on this one. Right,
he's
here
on the cover of that book right there.
Yep.
Very, you know, that whole classic.
It's a great style too.
70s, 80s superhero look. He was the man.
For those of you wondering, we're looking at The Secrets of the Legion of Superheroes, number one. Very cool cover with Superboy leading the Legion of Superheroes.
Okay, so basically what is going on is... When my older daughter was about 3 years old, she got real into Spider-Man. She was loving Spider-Man. She loved Spider-Man, loved Spider-Man. She loved Batman too, but mostly Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man. And my mom went and bought her some shoes, and she was wearing Spider-Man shoes and a Spider-Man shirt, and she had Spider-Man toys. And my wife took me aside, and, you know, first kid and everything, my wife kind of points out, she's like, you realize she's a girl, right? And I was like, dude, I don't care. Like, she's gonna like what she's gonna like. Like, I don't know, like, if she likes superheroes or princesses, I don't care, just as long as she's happy, and I'm gonna support that.
And they gotta grow into their personality.
And my wife kind of, like, not in a bad way, but she's just kind of like, okay, whatever, you know. And that whole, like, you kind of really wish you had a son, right? And I'm like, I don't really care. No, it's just, if she likes Spider-Man, she likes Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Then she got into some princesses. And she's walking around talking about, like, I need to find my one true love. And my wife rolls her eyes, and she's like, God, could we please bring back Spider-Man? Because... I agree, you know, sometimes they can get a little over the top. But then, you know, with kind of the internet and the, for lack of a better word, like the social justice warrior or the social justice culture, you know, the princesses catch a bad rap in that, you know, they're not preparing young girls to be, you know, like self-sufficient. They're independent. They're always waiting for some prince to come and save them. And I understand that, and I agree. Like, my kids, no, you're gonna be self-reliant and individualistic and smart and all of that. But then I keep, you know, it's after a while you start getting stuff like, you'll see some reference on the internet that'll point something out or it'll say something, and you're like, you know, I understand the point you're trying to make, but you're kind of way off base here. And one of the things that I saw recently was somebody posted a thing about Cinderella, and it was a meme, but it's like, just for the record, Cinderella was not looking for a prince. All she wanted was a dress and a ticket to the ball. She wasn't looking for somebody to save her.
Right.
And on one level, that's absolutely true. She wasn't. She didn't know what she was going to find. She just wanted to go out that night and dance.
She wanted to be part of the group, part of the crowd.
Just so happens, right? But it just kind of one of those things, like, man... With two small children, I've seen these movies so much that I can... I'll point out a bunch of plot holes. I'll point out a bunch of stuff that you might not realize. And I find myself kind of talking to the wall, because my wife's heard all this stuff, and she's like, you're really, really reading too much into this. And I'm like, how can I not read into it? It's right there. It's a big, glaring plot hole. We've got to discuss it. So I sent a message to Scott and was like, dude, right after our Jack the Ripper episode, let's lighten the mood. Let's talk about some Disney princesses. And he's like, dude, let's roll.
Do it.
So we're just going to go through not necessarily all of the princesses, but several of them.
Some more interesting ones.
And kind of touch base with who they were, what their situation was, and kind of whether or not they could or wouldn't be a good role model for little girls, right?
Right.
So I was going to start back and then roll it back, but I figured the best thing to do is start at the beginning. We're going to start back at the very, very first Disney princess, Snow White.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Now, let's get this right out of the way early on. Snow White pretty much fucked herself up right from the very beginning. Because at the very beginning of Snow White, she's outside, her stepmother's abusive, she's out cleaning the stairs, she's singing her song about waiting for her prince to come. The prince walks right up on her and says hello. And she runs away. And the prince is like, all right then. And then walks, tears
off.
Lack
of social skills.
And then 20 minutes later, the queen sends the huntsman after her, so Snow White runs off into the woods. So that could have been a really short movie if Snow White would have just...
Hey, how you doing?
Like, said hi. But I digress. The thing about Snow White, though, Snow White was a legitimate princess. Okay? Her father was the king.
Yeah.
Snow White was the princess. It was her stepmother, after her father had died, who usurped the throne and did not have a legitimate claim other than through marriage. Snow White was the legitimate heir to the throne.
Was there ever a good step-parent in any of these?
Not really.
No, they weren't.
But in good old-fashioned monarch, royal fashion, the queen is attempting to kill Snow White.
To gain the throne.
Now, ostensibly, it's because Snow White's the fairest in the land. And that's fine, except if you read between the lines, if Snow White dies, the queen...
Is the heir apparent, yeah.
Is the heir apparent, takes the throne. She can remarry, she can have her own heir, and her family takes the throne.
Over. Yeah.
So Snow White's the legitimate princess. She needs a prince to legitimize her claim. She needs somebody, she needs an ally. She needs somebody to basically save her from assassination in order to...
Retain the throne.
Retain the throne. She's obviously not that... I mean, she doesn't have... The queen's in charge of all of the hunters and the army. She's in charge of the government.
Yeah.
So, Snow White's on the run. I mean, it's a legitimate thing. It's not a matter of, like... This was a situational. She wasn't just sitting around pining away for a prince to come save her from her shitty fate. I mean, it's a legitimate, like, oh shit, if I don't find a prince to legitimize my...
I'm gonna lose everything.
I'm going to be killed, and then evil wins.
Right.
So there's that. Has that happened a lot of times in history? Yeah, they're still finding bodies in, like, the Tower of London and different castles and stuff.
And that's been an element of literature for a long time.
That's that Hamlet.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, or not Hamlet, Macbeth. Where the queen poisons the king and...
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. So, I mean, that's a legit... So, sitting around waiting for the prince to come, you know, could they have found somebody a little less shrill to sing the songs? Probably. had she listened to the dwarves and not gone outside or talked to strangers, you know? There's all kinds of lessons in there. But here's one glaring plot hole, and here's something that a lot of people don't realize about Snow White. When the evil queen in disguise gives the apple to Snow White...
Mm-hmm.
She tells Snow White that this is a wishing apple, and if you take a bite of this apple, all your dreams will come true. Snow White takes a bite of the apple, and she falls into the death-like sleep.
Nothing's free. Things don't come easy.
Literally, the next thing she sees is the prince's face when he kisses her to break the spell.
Yeah, that's true.
So, as far as Snow White is concerned, that
apple worked.
That apple was legit, dude. Like, she took a bite of the apple, she snapped awake, there's the prince right there, like, smooching on her. She's like, dude, fucking A.
It worked for me.
Yeah, let's make a bunch of these. Like, we'll sell this stuff. Good role model for girls? I don't know. Was it ever intended to be a role model for girls?
No, I don't think so.
I think it was just a story.
Yep.
But it does. It shouldn't get a whole lot of the, you know, it's not an anti-feminist trope either.
Right. So. Yeah, she does have certain attributes, I guess you could say that.
Cinderella, much the same, only she's not a princess.
Not a princess, correct.
She does have an...
And she didn't aspire to be one either. Like, no. You said, she just wanted to be part... She wanted to fit in.
She was being abused. She was being treated by a slave. And she was living in a nobility house. So obviously, she had enjoyed some sort of privilege at some point in her life. And then her father died, and the stepmother reduced her to the rank of washerwoman.
Yeah.
Shitty, but, you know, how the great have fallen at some point, right? But she wasn't pining away for a prince to come. What happened with her was all of her attempts to get to the ball, to try to make her dress fit, to try to do what she wanted to do, were all rebuffed by the stepmother and the sisters.
Yeah.
It was through magic, but she persevered. She managed to make it to the ball, and then by doing so, she was made a princess. Like,
yeah,
the prince chose her. Prince could have just as easily chosen anybody else.
Any other chick at the ball.
And after the glamour had worn off, after the magic was gone, he still liked her for herself.
Right. Saw her as he saw her before.
Right. She didn't do anything. Like, she didn't trick him.
She didn't have to put on airs or anything.
She didn't have to put on airs. As soon as the shoe fit and he recognized that was who she was, her dress, her hair, her coach, all of those adornments didn't matter to him. He didn't care. He's a prince.
Right.
He's got it all. So she wasn't sitting around waiting for a prince to come. She worked the entire time to just get out from under the thumb of her stepmother. So,
to be
happy.
Mean,
yeah, just to have a night. Have a night out. So again, you're not waiting for a prince to come and save you. It's incidental to the story. But it's pretty, you know, says a lot to her character that she did it anyway, you know.
But you can look at it also, is that, it's an interesting metaphor to look at with the storyline you just put out. Was her, the dress and everything just a way, just kind of like her self-esteem, showing that she needed to believe it also. The prince saw it already, just she didn't believe it herself. And that was a way of her believing it and realizing that she was special. And
I don't know. And again, because I'm so fresh to have just seen this stuff, she made her own dress.
Yeah.
And she made it out of throwaway pieces from the sisters and stuff, but she made her own dress. She had her own skills, and she had her own generally happy personality that was in spite of the abuse that she was given.
Right.
And it all got taken away. They tore it off of her, and they ripped it up and locked her in a room. So it wasn't like she was like, oh, I'm so miserable and sad, and then therefore I have to bring on the magic. The magic was more like the universe being like, you're doing the best you can. We're gonna
give you a break.
We're gonna you need to catch a little break. And even that break was short lived.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's very short. You had to make the most of it.
We're gonna go ahead and give you this little window of time. You gotta go in there and like impress the hell out of this dude, or else you're done.
Yeah.
Then you're going back to the sponge. So, I mean, I have this feeling, this like almost sympathetic feeling towards characters where they were more properly realized when people weren't thinking too hard about it.
Yeah.
rather than like, oh, well, let's fill them full of attributes. Right. Or instead, it's just like, oh, here's just this girl who can, you know, she's just happy in life despite all the bullshit she has to deal with. She deserves something better.
Yeah.
So there's that. That brings us to Aurora, Sleeping Beauty. Aurora was born a princess.
Yes.
She was cursed on the day of her birth. Okay. It wasn't... She was a princess from day one. There was no... There wasn't the prince come to save her. It was the true love's kiss going to break the spell.
Right.
Which had the cards stacked against her because she'd never met anybody before. Because they kept her in hiding. So she didn't...
How was she going to find true love if nobody was there?
Right. She happened upon the prince. The prince was riding through the woods. They happened upon each other right before the curse took hold. And it was kind of one of those love at first sight things. But to him, she was a commoner.
Yeah.
She was just some chick in the woods.
That they stumbled upon.
To her, he was just some dude riding through the woods. She didn't know he was a prince either. They fell in love without the...
The backstory.
Without no heirs.
Yeah.
Without putting on heirs.
Just being themselves.
They were themselves, their love, or their like, their crush, whatever it was legitimate. Not... It wasn't stipulated by anything.
Right.
They didn't know who each other was, or that they were already betrothed. They fell in love legitimately in that few moments, and... He went out to save her. But you'd have to, because if the alternative was everybody else was asleep, including her, and if he died, that would be the end of the story.
Yeah, because that was her true love.
And he didn't even really go after to save her. He went after to kill Maleficent.
Yeah.
Because she...
She had no idea what he was getting into.
Yeah, he didn't know what was going on. He didn't know that she was like that. He went out to fight Maleficent and ended up winning. And then once it was done, they're like, oh, hey, by the way.
There's this chick back here.
There's this chick on the bed.
You might want to meet her.
You might, yeah. She's got a little narcolepsy. Then we get to the one who breaks the mold a little bit. Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
We get to Belle. Belle is not a princess. She's a commoner. She's a normal...
She has no sleep issues.
She's got no sleep issues. Ain't nobody after her heart to put it in a box. She's just some chick in the town. Her father stumbles upon the Beast's castle. And... She trades herself... She takes her father's place. Mm-hmm. So in an act of bravery, she to release her father, she volunteers to be the Beast's prisoner. This is one of those that's so full of plot holes and weird little things, you know, back and forth, that I'm like, can't help but say things about the movie, but I don't want to spoil it for everybody. But here's a couple of things about Beauty and the Beast. Well, first of all, no, I'll go back to that. Belle's highly unlikely becoming a princess, notwithstanding, because it's a case of Stockholm syndrome, really.
Yeah.
But there's just so many things about Beauty and the Beast that are just that. It's a great movie, but you point out, okay, when her father stumbles upon the castle. It's cursed, fair enough. He's a prince. But what happened to his parents? Because...
Where's everybody at?
And aren't his parents frickin' furious that he got himself cursed and had all of their servants turned into furniture?
Yeah, items found in the home, normally.
And since he's been up in the castle sulking, who's collecting taxes... Who's, like, running the government? Because they're the government, and they're all dancing and singing and...
Who's taking care of this place?
Right.
Right.
And all the townspeople down in the village are all happy. They're all singing every day.
And everybody's like, frightened with the fact
it's that... like, there's no freaking government collecting taxes or, like, you know. So, maybe you should have just left it the way it was, right? Like, everybody seemed happy. The only person that it really kind of didn't was the Beast, and he apparently was enough of an asshole to get himself cursed, so...
Yeah.
maybe he deserved
it. Was he worth saving? Right.
So, you have that little plot point. Then, you know... For what it's worth, you know, the Stockholm Syndrome or whatever, but then you get to a character like Gaston. Her father comes down out of the mountains and is like, oh my god, it's a terrible beast. And they all laugh at him, and then he points out, like, no, it's real. They're like, holy shit. There is a monster in the castle holding his daughter prisoner. Let's get torches and rakes. And go, fuck this shit up. But they're the stupid yokels. They're right. The bad guys. In any other story, like the prince going and fighting Maleficent, like he's the good guy.
Yeah.
It
makes sense.
She's a monster in a castle standing guard over a captive princess. But he's the good guy. So he goes and stabs her, and then it's all good. The exact same thing happens in Beauty and the Beast. And the bad guy is the good guy.
Right.
Right? So, Gaston didn't do anything to deserve dying. He was kind of an asshole, but he was really the only person in the village that was actually nice to Belle. Everybody else, they had a whole singing montage about how weird she was and how they didn't like her.
To make her want to go away, you know?
You know, he's the only one that's like, she's pretty, I'm pretty, we'll hang out. Like, he goes and talks to her. Like, he's chauvinistic, he's a jerk. But he's the only he's the only person besides the guy in the bookstore that's nice to her at all.
Right.
Right?
And trying to help
her. And trying to help her out. Then he goes, tries to save her ass, and then he gets himself killed. Like, and then, to top it all off, now she's a princess. She's nobility in France in, like, the 1700s. What's going to happen?
So you get guillotined.
They're going to get guillotined. Like, they might as well just let that rose fall and just stayed peasants in the village. Like, this is not a good way to be. Like,
there's not just a good time to be royalty.
There's not a good time to be a nobility in France at all. But what you going to do, right? Like, it's a fun story.
It's the way it goes, yeah. Just be lighthearted with it. Stop reading into it too much, as they say. That's so true about that story. I never really looked at it, you know.
That's it, man. You can see some plot holes and some shit, right?
Like, no doubt, man.
You're like, this was never meant to be watched this many times by a grown-up. Like, not at all. It's not especially not an analytical, cynical guy. Right? That brings us to Princess Jasmine.
Latin.
All of the crap is pretty much Jasmine's fault. The whole thing is Jasmine's fault. Because she wanted to go off and be a commoner, and she tried to steal the apple for the little boy.
Yep.
She got caught stealing, and getting caught stealing means you get your hands cut off, and Aladdin saves her ass, and that puts the Sultan's shit list, or Jafar, who's the Sultan's right-hand man.
Yeah.
And so that's when Jafar's like, oh, well, you're going to be executed anyhow. So how about you go down there and get that lamp for me? Right? He's just a throwaway guy that happened to rub the lamp and then just get super powerful.
Yeah.
But it's all because of Jasmine. Decided to, like, go have an adventure. She almost got her ass killed. And then everything progressed from there.
Nothing would have happened. The chips wouldn't have fell into place unless that would have happened.
The lamp would have never come out. Aladdin would have never, like, you know, he wouldn't have been like, ooh, I'm in love with Jasmine, but he never would have met her.
Right.
He would have just been street rat, you know, like, no problem. Jafar would have had his ambitions, and maybe something bad would have happened later on, but it wouldn't have had to do with the lamp and the genie and all that stuff. Nothing would have fallen into place if Jasmine hadn't just been a spoiled brat that wanted to go outside. So,
but how many of these stories do have that? As far as that's the way they,
well,
they occur.
A lot of it, though, it's positioned in such a way that, like, Aladdin's the hero, or, you know, this is situational. But then whenever you actually watch it, and you're like, well, if A plus B equals C,
it should have more common sense.
Then if A would if A would not have happened, then B and C couldn't have happened. Then Jafar probably would have just gotten popped for being an asshole at some point, future point.
Right.
And
life would have went on.
Life would have went on. It wouldn't have made for an interesting story. No Robin Williams 20th century pop culture references.
But it would have made a lot more sense.
But it would have made more sense. I don't know a whole lot about Mulan.
Me neither.
Other than she's not what a woman should be, so she rebels and ends up having to pretend to be a man for a while, and then kind of like finding her way heroically, mm-hmm. and then by doing so earns her stripes, so to speak. Again, not exactly an anti-feminist tone.
Right.
You know, she's...
There are things. She had power.
Yeah.
As they say, the woman has power occasionally.
Pocahontas was just boring as hell. I hate that movie.
I actually do remember that
one. So stupid.
See, part of the thing I have is, I have a daughter, but she has a brother that is 7 years her elder. So, I have a daughter that games and skateboards.
See, that's cool.
So, yeah, but the older princess stuff, I do remember those. Mm-hmm. I definitely remember those.
So then we get to the modern princesses. So then you've got Tiana and yes. The Princess and the Frog.
Uh-huh.
That's a really good movie, actually, you know.
That's the Creole one.
That's the Creole one. And again, she's not waiting for anybody to come and save her.
Right.
It's her friend who's waiting for a man to come. But her friend's rich and she's not. She's saving up her money to build a restaurant.
Yeah, to become independent, to be able to change her life herself.
Right, and the prince himself is looking for a princess or somebody rich that he can latch on to so that he can re-legitimize his claim to his money. And they both decide that they'd rather stay frogs and together than to deal with all of that shit. You know?
The Shrek story.
It's basically Shrek. But there's a lot of good learning in that. I mean, right. As far as, like, the prince didn't come and save her. They worked together to get out of their situation. But I keep looking for this, like, it's going to damage your little girl where she's just sitting there waiting for a princess to come. And it's like, well, if you're watching these movies, it's not exactly what's happening.
Right.
Like, at all.
Especially the more modern ones. I mean, they kind of took that turn
mm-hmm.
where they women had to become more self-sufficient.
Well, then, you know, you get to Rapunzel. Once again, just like with Aurora. She was kidnapped.
Yeah.
You know, she's a legitimate princess. She was born a princess. She's, you know, she's a daughter of a king and a queen. She gets kidnapped. She grows up not even realizing she's a princess. You know, she falls for the dude, you know, for the criminal guy, but she doesn't know she's a princess. What's she gonna do? She's just like, hey, you're cool, let's hang out, you know. And they come to find out, like, oh shit, you're magical and you're a princess. She's like, cool. I could probably use this to my advantage at some point.
Yeah.
When I'm ordering room service,
I want to play the card sometime.
When I'm ordering room service, I can just throw it down that I'm the princess and they'll bring me shit, right? But it's incidental to who they are. It's not, they're not like, I am the princess.
Right, yeah, right? It's not a big part of it. I mean, if you don't know something and it's not part of you, then you're not going to worry about it. It's not going to affect you that much. You can't miss what you don't know, which you never had.
And then, you know, you get to Elsa and Anna from Frozen.
Yes, I did see that one.
Their parents died. They're both princesses. Their parents died. The bad guys are coming after their thrones, but they're not living in the whole, like, I'm a princess world. They're living in a, like, I'm psychologically damaged and superpowered world, and you're psychologically damaged and freezing shit, and I'm trying to help you, world. they're not,
and we don't have any adult supervision.
Yeah, we don't have any supervision.
except
for these guys who are trying to kill us. And, you know, if you just freeze them, then we're cool.
But just slow it down. Just do a little bit.
Yeah, just
tone it back a little
that
bit.
That guy, not the
like
whole.
Like Cyclops has those sunglasses.
Like not everybody.
That was a neat movie. I mean, my daughter got sick of the song.
Everybody got sick of the song.
Yeah, she got tired of going to the birthday parties that were designed for it, so she stopped watching it. But she did enjoy it when it first came out, for sure.
I don't understand. Like, all the little girls like Elsa, which I get it, because she's got the snow powers.
Yeah.
But she's not the good guy. The good guy is her sister, who's trying, like...
Trying to quell the situation and bring everything together. Right.
Elsa's kind of technically the bad guy right up until the very end.
Yeah.
I mean, she's psychologically damaged. You know, did you ever see that thing on How It Should Have Ended?
No.
It's a little cartoon. It's like how Frozen should have ended, and it showed the trolls where they're like, it's like, she can't control her powers. You're going to have to love and nurture her. They're like, oh, so lock her away in a building, conceal, don't heal. They're like, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. They're like, hide your powers and don't. He's like, you are really bad parents. He's like, I gotta make a phone call. And then Professor X rolls up and he's like, we have a home for you at the school for the gifted. And she like goes away. It's like, that's what it should
use. God.
So then we get into the exceptions. We get into what I like to call the asshole princesses. These are the ones who brought all that shit down on themselves. It's all hubris, and they deserved every little bit of misery they got. Starting with Ariel.
Yeah, because Ariel was just a brat.
She's a brat. She's 16 years old. Her father tells her, don't be messing with the...
So she goes and
she literally sells her soul to the devil. And then spends the whole rest of the time trying to unsell her soul to the devil.
Yes. Regretting what she did.
Trying to go back on her agreement. Now, Ursula did cheat a little bit by becoming the other hot chick that, like, competes with her. But she's like...
The devil doesn't play fair.
Period. Well, of course not. But she brought all that shit on herself.
Yeah.
And she almost got everybody killed, including her own father. Like, everybody almost died because of Ariel's a shithead.
Because she's a brat. Like I said.
And then she gets to be a princess at the end. No.
It shows that you're rewarded for being a brat.
Because Eric was a prince. If Eric would have just been some normal dude and she chose the life of a commoner, like, as her, like, mea culpa, then maybe... But he's a prince, so she gets to be a princess whether she goes back to the sea or out of the sea.
So she's rewarded, like I said,
she's rewarded for being a brat either way. And then in Brave, Merida. She goes to the witch. She goes to the witch in medieval Scotland. I'm not saying this should happen, but what would have happened... Well, she and the witch would have been tied to a stake and set on fire. Right?
Yes.
But what did happen is she fed her mother a poison cake that the witch gave her. Who the fuck just goes out to some random witch woman in the woods and says, hey, I need to teach my mother a lesson. And then the witch, like, here, feed this to your mom, the queen. And you feed it to her and she, like, gurgles over and falls over. It's goddamn lucky she turned into a bear. Otherwise, they would have tied her up and burnt her for killing her own mother.
Well, of course. You deserve, but the thing about it is, you deserve more than just regrets for screwing up like that.
Yeah. So there are a couple in there. Like, Brave is a good movie. Like, I enjoy the movie. But even so, you're, like, watching it being like, okay, the lesson here is to not just listen to each other and be civil, but don't feed your mom a poison cupcake that you got from a witch in the forest. that's a really, really good lesson to learn. Like, don't do that.
Take that into everyday life.
Just take that with you. Just, like, that's... When your mom yells at you for being a shithead, you don't go off in the woods to find some strange lady and ask her for a poison cupcake.
Right.
Just don't do that sort of stuff. You know? Write a letter to your mom. Tell her...
This should be a given. She was at the age where she should have known better than that. And, like, it was just spoiled brat.
Yep. So, you know, but that's, what do we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 to 2. Good role models to maybe not so good role models. It's not too bad.
Nah, not too bad. For, I mean, it's movies. You know, that's one thing. One thing is to make sure your child knows the difference between reality and
fantasy, of course.
And don't let them read too much into it. But the thing about it is, even the two that are bad are pretty bad. That's a pretty bad lesson.
Yeah,
by far.
You just get away with it regardless.
Because too many kids think that way already. That there's no repercussions for certain actions and shit.
True. Now, I don't know if they ever got married or not, but if Jack Skellington was the Pumpkin King, then that would make Sally
a queen,
not a princess. So she doesn't count. But right. She was the one person that had, like, the good head on her shoulders out of that entire movie. She pretty much saved the day.
Oh, well, yeah.
So,
yeah, she's very much so.
If she's not just a girlfriend, then she's queen, so she doesn't count. And then there's Princess Leia. Who pretty much saves the day. But she's a Disney princess now.
Well, one I'd like to bring up is Princess Buttercup, who, from Princess Bride, mm-hmm. who was another one that she held steadfast, pretty much. I mean, she was going to kill herself in the end when she thought that she wasn't going to have her true love. That's dedication.
True.
That's dedication right there. There's women with men in jail that they know when they're going to be getting back, but they still can't wait that long.
Yeah. You
know? Buttercup was ready to just do it all.
She thought Wesley was dead.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is she was going to kill herself. She wasn't going to go on. You know,
yeah, she wasn't going to put up with the shit.
She was going to end it. I love that movie so much, man. God, I love Princess Bride.
Dude, we're going to Frightmare.
Yes.
Humperdinck's going to be there.
Yes.
I got to figure out something to get him to sign.
See, I got those Fright Night comic books, so I'll make sure to get you the one with him on the cover.
I want to get something Nightmare for him to sign. I love Fright Night, but Nightmare is the... I don't know what I would get. Maybe I'll buy a Skellington figure or a poster or something.
Well, we'll find something cool. I'll definitely go find something cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Frightmare Weekend is going to be a blast out in Dallas, for sure. If you guys are going to go, let us know. We could definitely hook up and... have you drop some comments to the Scary Dad podcast. We'll be out there. We'll be able to record. We'll be set up for interviews and
all kinds of fun stuff. Well, I guess the lesson here, guys, is don't let the internet sour your ideas on a trope because people think they know what they're doing. If you haven't read the book, if you haven't seen the movie, it's really kind of dumb to have an opinion on it. Because... I would say that the world would have you think that the Disney princesses are a whole bunch of just damsels in distress waiting for the prince to come. Mm-hmm. And in some cases it's true, but it's for a reason.
Right.
And then some of them that are some of the more popular ones are just straight up brats that need to be grounded.
Yeah, they need an ass whipping, pretty much.
You need to know the difference between them. But, I know this episode wasn't scary, but we've been in some pretty dark territory lately. So
yeah, we're doing something to lighten the mood up a little bit.
Just fun to lighten the mood a little bit.
We'll be back to the norm pretty soon.
Yeah, I think we're going to do our short episode on Zodiac next time.
Yeah, so we'll have a supernatural episode coming up that we'll have some creepy things to talk about there.
We got to get back to some ghost stories. We haven't done that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Guys, 25 episodes, we've been going pretty strong, and we're not running out of things to talk about. We've got a whole freaking list.
Everyday things come up.
So
I saw today, this was interesting. A lot of them look like they were just, even though they were Photoshopped, but trail cam photos of just weird shit. That was some cool pictures, man. Some of them were just ridiculous. You could tell that it wasn't real. But some of them were like, whoa, what the hell is that?
We probably could do a video podcast of, like, you've seen some of the stuff, like the ghost encounters on YouTube and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like the one where they, it's like the hotel where the guy goes and... It's like, we're getting, you know, it's like maintenance. And they've got the security camera, like, looking down the hall. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, we're like, whatever it is, room 308. You know, there's noises coming from the room and screaming, so you got to go check it out. And they're like, oh, it's supposed to be an empty room. Security goes, and he opens the door, and he, like, walks in. And as he walks in, like, this little shadow, like, passes him going out of the room. And he walks in, and you hear him on his radio. It's like, call the police. It's like, apparently it was like shit overturned and water on and like all kinds of crazy stuff, but it was a ghost that did it.
Right.
But he thought it was just like he walked in, he's like, it's vandalism. Like, somebody messed up this room. But you see the little ghost walk out behind him. It's like, dude, this is cool.
You know, I was talking to my cousin today, and apparently he was telling me that my grandparents' house, which I haven't been in probably 5-6 years, that his brother was saying last time he was there, it's definitely showing some signs of some supernatural activity possibly being there. That would be cool. That would be a cool little road trip. I might have to check that out and just see how far it's going. Because there've been a few people that have died in that house. So,
my buddy Byron, for a while, he was traveling a lot. For years, he was traveling for his work. Every time he'd go to a different city, he'd look up and see if there was a ghost. It was like, and he'd ask to stay in that room. Like, I want to stay in this room, or I want to stay in the room where the murder happened, or whatever. And he was pissed off because he was in one hotel, and the rooms were back to back. So he was in this room, and his buddy was in this room, and his buddy was getting pestered by ghosts. And, like, the ghost knocked his taco over and, like, screwed with him all night. Oh, and Byron's there, like, not seeing anything. He's like, man,
this sucks. God, yeah, I could use a good adrenaline fear rush, definitely. That would definitely be fun. Have you seen, this is another little off-topic thing, the video of the guy, apparently it ended up being found out to be fake, and this guy had made this for like a theater class or some shit, but it's this guy at a kitchen table with a camera talking to a friend of his about a girl that he met at the mall. Have you ever seen that video? I'm going to show that to you after this podcast so you can check it out. Apparently for months, this woman with a missing daughter thought that video was about her daughter and was really freaking out. And finally, they tracked the guy down and found out exactly what it was. But when you first watch that video, it is creepy as hell.
Nice.
It will give you chills. They did a good job with it. Definitely, they scared the shit out of a lot of people.
there's one in it. I don't know whatever came of it. I mean, true, not true. Claim for true, whatever. I don't know. There was one, it was like a Reddit story where the dude was like, you gotta help me, I'm being stalked by my dead girlfriend on Facebook. And he does, I mean, it's a really, really, really long, like, it's this long thread where he's like, you know, girlfriend died in a car accident, you know, and that was like a year ago, and now, like, I started getting instant messaged from her account, and, you know, so he's thinking her account's been hacked or whatever, and it just, like, escalates, and then, like, it's all just like little symbols and numbers and little things that have nothing, but then it starts developing into things, and, like, the word that comes out is like cold or, you know, whatever, and he'll say stuff and she'll repeat the same stuff back, or he'll talk to somebody else, and he's got all screenshots of this stuff, and it's really creepy. And, like, he'll say, like, oh, she was in a car accident, and, like, basically the car flipped over in the snow, so she was alive for a while and she died frozen,
right?
And so she's cold, and, like, she's just like cold, like, just, it's creepy. Hey, look it up, it's badass. I mean, it doesn't have to be true, but it's well rendered. It's cool.
I'll give it Pima and see if he saw it on there.
He probably wrote it. All right, guys. Short and sweet. Click the buttons. Like, share, comment.
Subscribe.
Tweet. Instagram.
Contact us.
Whatever
communicate.
Else.
Communicate.
And we'll see you at Texas Frightmare Weekend. And next week and the week after that.
Yes, indeed. Stay scary.
Bye.
I know you. I walked with you once upon a dream. I know you. That look in your eyes is so familiar, a gleam, and I know it's true that visions are seldom all they seem. But if I know you, I know what you'll do. With you once upon a tree.